Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy.
7 minutes past six. Hello and welcome along to Sports Day. Well, on Saturday night, as we all know, Melbourne takes on the Bulldogs to decide this year's Premier. Simon Goodwin, awarded Coach of the Year last night, is just one win away from coaching immortality by leading the Demons to a drought-breaking victory. But tonight I'd like to focus briefly, if I can, on Simon Goodwin's coaching adversary in Luke Beveridge. In 2016, Luke Beveridge led the Bulldogs to their first flag in 62 years. It was the way he did it that underpinned his potential legacy. In 2016, they were beaten by Frio by 20 points and sustained numerous injuries in round 23, limping into the finals. 5 weeks and 4 wins later, the Dogs, with the handball game, unseated the favourites, the Sydney Swans, to take the flag. It was a truly incredible victory. Now, you can get lucky once, but you can certainly not get lucky twice. And Luke Beveridge has again finished the season limping into a finals campaign after 23 rounds. And again, he has lifted his group, his team, to another grand final. Now, the challenge, as we all know, has been immense, given they've been away from home for weeks. Won games, finals games in Launceston, Brisbane and Adelaide, all while in quarantine. What an achievement already. But to beat the favourites Melbourne in Perth, to pick up a second flag for the Bulldogs, would elevate Luke Beveridge to possibly the equal of Sutton and EJ Witten, possibly higher, as the greatest name in the Bulldogs' history. Dogs fans will hopefully have a long time to work that out. But as a coach, others have won more flags. But if Beveridge wins on the weekend, he will somehow have his own category as one of the greatest of all time, given the challenges his two teams overcame to win flags. Welcome to you, Scoop. Looking forward to the great man joining us shortly.
Hello, Jared. I was away in thought there, thinking about your editorial. It would be quite the unbelievable achievement, isn't it? And we've all been talking about the D's for the last couple of weeks, as you can imagine why. They've been the best team all year, and they deserve to be favourites. But, yeah, Luke Beveridge's reputation, if they can pull off another miracle, and I don't think that's too big a word to call it a miracle, like it was in 2016, would be fairly significant. What else is significant here from a news perspective, Jared, I know we're just about to get to Richo, is that we've had a case here in WA.
Yep.
We've had a case of a truck driver who was here last week for less than 48 hours, who was sleeping in his truck, has been wearing a mask. They've checked through CCTV. So they're confident that it's not going to impact anything, but still, it's got people on edge a little bit over here. This is Health Minister Roger Cook addressing the situation here in Perth just a few minutes ago.
Early information, which has been confirmed, that one truck driver has tested positive. So at this point in time, there is no change being contemplated for the broader community, and we will continue to keep you informed. And we don't anticipate at this point in time, based on the advice we've got, that everything is going ahead as planned, even though we are still examining this particular truck driver and their movements. Expect that we'll get questions, for instance, about the AFL Grand Final. There is no change that is being planned in respect of the conduct of the game or indeed any other conditions.
There you go. So, not anticipating any change, Jared, but there are, just checking WA Health website, 7 exposure sites now. So, it's obviously going to have people nervous, Jared, as you can imagine, until that ball is bounced on Saturday.
Yeah, it probably focuses a lot on the decision to have the bye, but, it's done and dusted now. We move on and hopefully... Yep. It is controlled and they don't have a breakout, which is going to potentially cloud the build-up to what's going to be a great game. Speaking of greats, one of the all-time greats joins us, as he does on each and every Wednesday night. It's a Brownlow edition of Richo, man. Everyone's up and about, Richo, albeit in the shadow of a couple of the worst days we've ever had. Where were you? Let's ask the question. Where were you when the joint was rocking today?
I was recording a podcast on level 13 of a building Collins Street, and let me tell you, it was swaying up on level 13. We got a little bit panicky. There's no doubt about that. It was something we're not used to experiencing here in Melbourne. There's no doubt. So, yeah.
Nathan Brown would have been hiding under the desk, I assume, Richo, and you should have been sitting there cool as a cucumber.
I wasn't. Brownie was pretty cool. But, yeah, it was a strange feeling. And then probably for the next 20 minutes after that, you're trying to finish your podcast and we're like, we just want to get out of the building. Where were you, Jared?
Well, I reckon I'm one of the very, very few people in Melbourne who didn't feel the earthquake. I was swimming.
I was doing a lap in the marina. Hang on, Jared. You're saying that you missed the earthquake because you were swimming in the bay.
I did. I got out of the water and I went up to the car park with my brother, and everyone was carrying on and screaming. It was about a minute after the earthquake had just settled down, and people were yelling and screaming, and we're thinking, what the hell have we missed here? And sure enough, we missed a 5.8.
5.8, no such earthquakes across the Nullarbor, Jared and Richo, where we find the Premiership West Coast coach Adam Simpson, who joins us live on Sports Day ahead of what is a huge few days here in this beautiful state of Western Australia. Simo, welcome to you.
Good evening, boys. No earthquakes over here.
Well, there's about to be on Saturday night. It's going to shake the game up, and it's fantastic to see the grand final being taken around the country, albeit in such difficult circumstances. I understand the pain that Melbourne and the Bulldogs supporters would be going through, but take that aside. It is great that we're seeing a grand final played for another time outside the state.
Yeah, well, look, the state and what they've done with the stadium over here, it's perfect timing, really, to host something like this. Stadium's still brand new, hasn't got that worn-in smell yet, and the whole city has just embraced the last couple of weeks, and you know, probably since the first final that we saw over here with the Giants and the Cats, it's sort of built each day, and really jealous that we're not part of the campaign at all. But yeah, it's going to be really good for the whole state on Saturday night.
Yeah, Simo, everyone's really excited about this game. Everyone you talk to is really anticipating, I think, a close grand final. You obviously know both teams really well, coaching against them over the last few years. Do you get that feeling too? It's going to be a close granny?
Really hard to tell, Richo. You assume so. You sort of think that every year and you know, every second year there's a blowout. So look, I suppose the one thing about the Bulldogs and that's different than 16 is their form throughout this year has been, other than for 3 weeks, has been pretty strong, and yeah, they did falter a little bit towards the end, but for the most part, they were, you know, 1-2 on the ladder, and the two really deserving sides to play off. So, and the Bulldogs are back to their best, so it's going to be a great game.
I know it's a guessing game, Simo, but that extra week off for Melbourne in between their prelim and the grand final, do you feel like that's going to cause any harm for them, having, you know, played a little bit less footy than the Dogs? Do they lose any momentum, or does it just help them more?
It's a good question. Both teams have been training at our facility, and I can't help but watch a little bit because it's my window in my office overlooks the Oval. So for as much as I'm trying to respect the privacy of what they're doing, I can see a little bit of training. And you can tell that the Bulldogs have played an extra game throughout the final series to the point where they did things a little bit differently than Melbourne. You know, they're a bit more recovery when they trained, and Melbourne were a bit more turbo, and I don't know what that means for grand final day, but both have got different type of preparations. Even over the weekend, you heard them both talk about one club was going pretty hard at an intra-club, the other one didn't, and it was more based on how the players are feeling rather than what the best prep was.
West Coast coach Adam Simpson joining us live on Sports Day. Adam, Sam Petrescu-Seaton has requested a trade to the Eagles. How hands-on were you in that process?
No, not a lot. No, that's still, they're going to work through that. And yeah, I'm sure both clubs will, you know, hopefully we can work through it. But no, not a lot, to be honest, Sam. We got an indication that Sam was looking to get home, and more than happy to oblige. So we'll let the two clubs work through that, and hopefully we can get what Sam wants and what we want.
Is he a midfielder?
It's a good question. I think mid-forward is probably where he belongs, but I know he went down back there for a little while at the Blues. And, you know, for us, if it was all to work, we'd have to go through and see how he feels. But I think having the flexibility at the moment is a good thing. But getting him settled would be a priority as well. But, you know, a lot of water to go under the bridge before we worry about that.
Yep.
Simo, you've seen the two teams training. You've seen the evolution of the game, a couple of rule changes, and you've seen yourselves come up short. What do you need to, or what are you focusing on? What have you got up on the drawing board that you are considering changing to stay with the top end of the ladder?
Yeah, that's not an easy one to answer, Jared. We are working through, and I've noticed this season, the game changes. I mean, around 6 or 7, you always look to see what the trends are and what has more impact. And I felt as the season went, there was a lot more accountability with defence. Mm-hmm. Is something I noticed. Rather the zone defence that we all talk about, there's still elements of that, but there's a lot more one-on-one cover off type of situations that force you to a contest. And so the teams are the best at the contest, and that's been around a while, but even more so embracing that part of the game is something that we didn't manage consistently enough. So when we're good, we were really good. When we weren't, we were really bad. So the two teams at the top now, they embrace that from the get-go, and it's all day, every day, no compromising. So that, loosely and broadly, they're the couple of things I've noticed.
They're also got amazing running power. I mean, if you look at the last X amount of grand finals, take yourselves out of it. Richmond running power immense. Got probably 13 elite midfield runners. Demons have developed this incredible running power, and the Dogs have they're not shy in that department as well. Do you need to recruit some runners?
You need to have a fit side, you know. So you need a good preseason. You need a good 2 or 3 preseasons, really, and you need that synergy of match play, which we didn't get this year, but. Yeah, look, I think every team and every club has good runners. It's and, you know, there's no point having really good runners, but guys who can't win the ball or use the ball. So you want that balance. But both those teams have got a good balance of both, and you wouldn't say Petrarca's their best runner, but, you know, their wingers and the way they run and complement what he does, that's sort of at every club. So... We need a good preseason, to be honest. But the two teams that are playing this week have built themselves over not just one season, probably 3 or 4 seasons to get to this point. And even the Doggies, you know, dipping for a few years after their premiership, and now this campaign's a product of the last 3 years, I would have thought.
Simo, you've welcomed a couple of new coaches that have been around for a while. Obviously, Matthew Knights from Geelong and Jared Schofield join the coaching staff. Is that important for you to bring in some fresh faces and maybe, I don't know, whether they bring fresh ideas? Is that something that you need as a senior coach every 3 or 4 or 5 years just to bring in some new ideas and just a fresh face?
That's a good question, Richo. We actually thought I might have had 2 grand final midfield coaches coming into the ranks, and they both got touched up in the prelim. But they will get... We've traditionally at West Coast, we build from within, and we get the coaches in young. They go through development. We educate them as best we can, and then we get really good line coaches and assistant coaches. And this time around, and I've been coaching now for 8 years, I'm really excited about some new ideas and some guys who have established themselves as really good senior coaches in senior assistant coaches, and obviously Knights with his experience as a senior coach. So, yeah, I'll be picking their brains, already have, to be honest, on their leave. Trying to get them over here is going to be a challenge with lockdown and all those situations. But, yeah, real sense of excitement that they can bring some, especially the 2 clubs they've been at. They've been so strong for a number of years, Port and Geelong. So I'll be definitely, I won't say copying, but they won't be far off some of the ideas that they've got from their clubs.
Adam, what about when people go the other way? And I'm referring to Jamie Graham. How hard is it as a senior coach, you know, knowing that these guys are taking IP with them And does it make it harder if and when they go to crosstown rivals? I mean, I keep waiting for the news to drop that he's joined Fremantle. It hasn't happened yet, but yeah. It does sound like it's far off.
I think it might have happened a bit more this year. It just feels like there's been more changes with assistant coaches for whatever reason. I know when I got the job, and this is for the new coaches who come into play, when I got the job after being at Hawthorn, I definitely used a lot of the teaching elements and the style of play. And you use that as a platform to start with. And then I think the way it works is you just adapt to the list and your own coaching sort of comes through as years go. So senior coaching is a bit different than being an assistant. I think you do take a little bit of information with you, but you know, predominantly most clubs are doing very similar things. It's just done in a different way. So, yeah, no doubt we'll lose a little bit of IP, but that happens every year.
This is why he's so good, Jared, because he actually avoided the whole question of Jamie. Is he joining Freo, Adam?
Yep. I've got no idea. He's not with us. So, I'm sure he's working really hard on whether he takes opportunities to come to Victoria, which is an option for him. I'm sure there's clubs out there, and there's also, Fremantle would have shown some interest as well. So that'll be a personal choice that Jamie will work through, and he deserves every success that he can get. So I wish him all the best.
Can I ask Adam if just a couple of questions by way of recruiting? You've been watching the training, and quite clearly, there are three outstanding elite midfielders that have been running up and down the ground in front of your office: Oliver, Petrarca, and Bont. If you could pick one, which one would you take to bolster your chances next year?
I'd probably pick Bont.
Okay, so you've gone with Bont. So that means that you've missed out on Petrarca and Oliver. So my other question is, and this is specifically to bolster your team, not just on talent, but on a needs base. If you could take a choice out of anybody else of the two teams, and you can't take now Oliver, Petrarca and Bont, who would you select?
Are you trying to get me on the back page of Western Australian again?
No, I've done that once already this year. Because I'm looking at like a Bailey Smith or a Bailey Dale across that half back line. There's a couple there that stand out to me like absolute rippers. Who would you have in mind if you had the genie came out and gave you one wish?
To be honest, I have not got. There's probably 10 players there that can help any team in the competition. So I'm going to deviate from that question because I've got no idea what the ripple would be off the back of me answering it.
Smart.
I'm a bit tentative,
bit
mate.
Gun-shy tonight, bit gun-shy.
Oh, mate. You're lucky on after what you did to me last time.
it was my fault now. Okay.
He's at Juno's chasing him around, fault. Jared, here in Perth. I saw him at the preliminary final. They were just hanging off him. Simo, great to have you on. You can see why you love living in this beautiful state so much when the weather's like this. Enjoy the grand final. I'm sure you'll be in seat 1A on the second level, and we'll talk to you soon.
No, I had to do a few appearances to get a ticket this year, so times have changed pretty quickly over the last couple of years. But no, can't wait for the game to start. Thanks, boys.
Thank you.
The great Adam Simpson there joining us on Sports Day. A little bit to unpack out of that, Jared, particularly towards the end. But anyway, we're short on time. We've got Yes No Richo coming up. He's asked for a huge spot of time today, Richo, because he's got a lot to get through. More Sports Day coming up with the great man after this.
Richo, your thoughts on this grand final coming up, specifically the battle between the coaches. Simon Goodwin, All-Australian coach last year. Great comeback from Simo, given he was under so much...
From Goody,
given he was under so much pressure. But I'm interested in your thoughts on Luke Beveridge, because the more I think about it, the more this bloke has got this opportunity to do what no one else has ever done in coaching before. People have coached 4 flags, 5 flags, etc. But the circumstances under which the Bulldog group and him have had to prevail has been extraordinary 2 years now.
Yeah, if he was to win another one from an elimination final, it would just be extraordinary, really, because people had written the dogs off. A lot of the commentators after their final three rounds, they didn't look like it. They go down to Launceston and have a good win against the Bombers, and they haven't been home since. They've been up to Brisbane, to Perth, to Adelaide, back to Perth now. And he's built that sort of story again, that momentum again, that us against them mentality, and he knows how to bring a group together. He can sense when he's got something building, and he knows how to build that narrative. So, and they're playing great footy, and you know they're timing things beautifully with the form of a lot of the players as
well. So for them to win, what needs to go right and what needs to go wrong for the Demons?
Well, they obviously need to curtail Gawn. He's the number one hit out to advantage Ruckman in the competition. The Bulldogs are 17th in that area, so they're not going to get their hands on it that often. Martin will be better. We know that. So I think he has to almost tag Max Gawn.
Yep.
Just niggle him all day long. You can't let Gawn run around like he did last week. And look, to have another game like that's asking a lot of Max. He's not going to kick five goals again. But to negate Gawn is the number one priority, obviously. And I think Martin will have the job doing that. You just look at Melbourne and you think their defensive structure is so good. They're the number one defence for a reason. They've got so much trust in what they're doing and belief. So for the Dogs to get through that, I think Norton needs another big game. I mean, he took six contested marks against Port Adelaide. At one point, he had more contested marks than Port in the third quarter. He doesn't have to kick a huge bag of goals, but I think he needs to have that presence in the air, take some marks inside 50. If he can't do that, I just don't know if they can get through enough the Western Bulldogs.
So let's go back to the Melbourne defence. It's the stingiest defence in the history of the game per inside 50.
Yeah.
So they concede very few goals. But the one bloke who's actually unsettled them the most has been Luke Beveridge with his use of the high half forwards. Bailey Smith dragging someone up. Hannon, a slightly different role, who had his best game that I've ever seen him have a couple of weeks ago. And Treloar's gone there, and he's got a bad one under the belt. He's moved on. He's had a good one. He's an amazing athlete.
I mean, Dunkley, they're going to be Johannesson when he's in there.
And then obviously Waitman will come back into the team. His energy is going to be huge. I mean, that the first game, the elimination final, Essendon were actually going pretty well in that game early before the rain came, and it was Waitman that energised them and really kept them in it in that game. I know he was criticised for the free kicks, but he deserved them. I thought he got
them going. Dunkley going on to Parrish, curtailed him. Who does he go to? Or are they waiting to see who gets hot? And they put the cooler on him, as the usual lingo.
I guess, you know, the ball users are off half-back, Christian Salem. If he gets a lot of it, he can set them up with his ball use. But I think those high half forwards are important. Is Bailey Smith going to be able to do that 3 weeks in a row as a forward? It'll be one of the extraordinary final series of all time. If the Dogs win and Smith hits the scoreboard again, what a great final series he would have put together as a 21-year-old. Unbelievable. Mitch Hannon was really important against Port Adelaide. What he brings is movement. Mitch Hannon, Scoopy, he doesn't get high numbers, but he hits the scoreboard, and his movement, it creates space for others, and movement's going to be important against Melbourne's defence.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Still no confirmation out of Carlton, but Michael Voss, I saw pictures of him landing in Melbourne. It's always hard for someone of Vossie's notoriety, Richo and Jared, to actually go under the radar when you arrive in a state for a coaching job. It is particularly more difficult when there is no one actually on planes. And so when Vossie gets off the plane, he's the only person in the airport hangar and the only person in the lounge, Richo.
So he's definitely got the job scoop. He wouldn't
I don't.
Why would he be coming otherwise? Why would he need to come to Melbourne if he didn't have it?
My understanding, Richo, is that he and Adam Kingsley were both preparing for final interviews in person.
Right. So that it's still to be wait for those interviews, and then one of those two is a
Maldi. That's right. And I think that the new CEO, Brian Cook, was going to be involved in both of those interviews. Look, I think Vossie's the favourite, but it's not done as of yet. What he's done is that Robert Harvey has joined Hawthorn. He's going to serve part of a new look coaching panel under Sam Mitchell. That's another good appointment from Sam and the Hawks, I reckon, Jared.
Well, I think Robert Harvey is so close to being a senior coach, it's not funny. If you've got an inexperienced senior coach and you were bringing Rob Harvey to your fold, it's an absolute win for mine and a good decision by Sam Mitchell.
Yes, No, Richo is next on Sports Today. Yeah, it's getting a little bit awkward between Mondays and Wednesdays. Which is the bigger segment? Is it Lordy's Top 7? Is it Yes, No, Richo?
Indeed.
Richo, is not enjoying the comparison at all. Jared, before we get to the start of that, you've got a competition you'd like to start.
Indeed, we have Johnny from Tommy Ruff's has weighed in, scoop with the entertainer, a couple of big seafood platters, a value of $180. Tomorrow night, we're taking calls on your best grand final prediction. There is one for a Bulldog supporter. There is one for a Demon supporter. You can get on board early. Sports Day at 3AW. sportsday@newcastlesportsday.com.au if you want to email in your best predictions. And if you want to pick up your own hamper for Saturday's grand final, you can find them at Windsor, Elstonwick or Mordialloc.
So what does the prediction have to be, Jared?
Any
doesn't have to
grand
be something that's
final
right,
prediction
or
just anything that we like. We will make them in hindsight on the Monday.
And you can also tweet us at Sports Day as well, at Sports Day. You can find us on Twitter. Yes, no, Richo, Jared?
Here we go, Richo. For the final time in season 2021, Alistair Clarkson will be coaching the Gold Coast this time next year. Yes or no?
No.
Sam Petrescu-Seaton is worth a second pick and nothing more, yes or no?
Yes.
The grand final should be rotated outside of Melbourne every 5 years, as Lee Matthews suggested two nights ago.
No.
All players in the grand final winning squad should receive a premiership medal. Yes or no?
No.
Ollie Wines should captain Port Adelaide in 2022.
No.
GWS should trade Stephen Cornelio.
Oh, hesitation.
I'd say yes, but there's a lot of dollars involved there.
Carlton will play finals next year under Michael Voss.
No.
Carlton will play finals under Michael Voss in 2023.
Yes.
Jack Viney takes Libba as a hard tag at the opening bounce and stays with him.
Yes.
Jack Viney takes Libba as a hard tag at the start of the game and goes on to win the Norm Smith medal, yes or no?
No.
Are you sick of politicians hiding behind Chos, given that you are the only Cho that is worth listening to, yes or no?
Good point.
Yes.
The All-Australian selectors, Richo, were vindicated in leaving Jake Stringer out when he finished fifth in Essendon's best and fairest, yes or no?
Yes.
I can't believe that Richo has implanted his own question,
no,
Jerry.
No, I didn't.
That's
not true, Scoop.
That is unbelievable.
Is Scoop lying? This is my own question. Yes, no. Is Scoop lying? Yes.
Scope or Scoop?
Oh,
Scoopy.
The umpires Scoopy? Were vindicated again in their Brownlow choice when the coaches selected the same type of player to win it. Yes or no?
What was that again? Sorry.
I'll come back to that. The Bont will win the Norm Smith medal. Yes or no?
No.
Clayton Oliver will win the Norm Smith medal.
No.
Tom Liberatore wins the Norm Smith medal.
No.
Max Gawn wins the Norm Smith medal.
Surely.
No.
James Harms wins the Norm Smith medal.
No.
I've forgotten one. Petrarca wins the Norm Smith medal.
Yes.
Oh, I finally got there. Melbourne should do everything they can to land Adam Chera. Yes or no?
No.
Richmond should have picked Talia over Robbie Tarrant, yes or no?
No.
The best defender of the year should receive the Paul Ruse medal voted on by the All-Australian selectors, yes or no?
They should receive a medal, yes. Their own medal, yeah. We should have an award for them.
If you were awarding, that's you, were awarding the Paul Ruse medal, given for the best defender in 2021, Aralia would be the inaugural winner, yes or no?
No.
Jake Lever would be?
No.
Jacob Wietering?
No.
Bailey Dale's a certainty?
No.
Daniel Rich?
No.
Stephen May?
Yes.
Finally got there. The best forward of the year should pick up the Peter McKenna medal. Not the one who kicks the most goals, the one that the whoever it is judges as the best, most impactful forward.
I like that idea, yes.
The winner this year, awarded by Matthew Richardson. Well, we could make it the Matthew Richardson medal. Would be Hattie Mackay, yes or no?
Be an inconsistent medal winner, that one. No.
Thomas Papley, yes or no?
No.
Toby Green?
No.
Oh.
Has to be Tom Hawkins, yes or no?
Yes.
The AFL got a nasty reminder today about the dangers of a dubious decision to have a bye over in Perth. Yes or no?
Yes.
Got any more yes or no's? I've run out of time. Scoopy?
If you call me that one more time, you'll find out something else. But we're going to come back with Richo after this.
It's building up slowly. The nerves are slowly starting to come in. But I suppose having the fact of living what we did in 2016 and the nerves that surrounded that were just super intense. Like, that was that was the most intense I've been in a month of football in my entire life. So having lived that and a different scenario now, a little bit calmer this time around.
Well, there he is, one of the legends of the Western Bulldogs, one of the great men of football, Brad Johnson, giving us his thoughts, and you can hear the full interview on our podcast. And I've got to say, Richo, he's very creative, Jono. He's a great media performer. He's a great developer of talent, and he's also got himself a fantastic business. He's developed a chest protector for men and women, and with his wife at Xena Sports, so he's doing great things.
Yeah, killing it, Jono, and yeah, he'll be a nice and nervy, won't he, again on Saturday afternoon.
Interested in your thoughts on Stephen Silvani's grab on Stephen Cornelio.
They've just got so many good players, and when you see him not playing in the midfield, and that's where he's played his best football, and now he's sort of playing as a small forward. It's probably a lot of money to be paid as a small forward and not being a really big goal kicker in a sense that, you know, he's almost wasted a little bit. I reckon in an ideal world, if he was at his best and was able to get back to his best football, they'd want to keep him. If he's playing at the capacity he is at the minute, I think they'd like to see him move on.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really interesting take from Stephen Silvani. I mean, how can you judge Jared and Richo whether this guy is going to get back to his absolute best again? I think it's just another example of, you know, the long contracts not being the way to go. And this is nothing about Stephen. It's happened with Brody Grundy. Christian Petrarca is playing in a grand final, but playing a lot better. He's got a 7-year deal. You just put yourself in a precarious position, Richo, I reckon.
Absolutely. And as you say, it's nothing to do with Stephen Cornelio.
Did it with Dustin Martin, Richo. But he's different. His journey's been different.
Yeah, but let's be honest, without being too unkind, I mean, Steve Cornelio is not in that bracket of Dustin Martin, of Petrarca, of Buddy Franklin.
I agree.
He's a good midfielder. He's yet to become a great midfielder. And so this was a leap of faith by some up at the Giants.
Look, he was playing good footy and he came out of the contract at the right time for him, and the Giants were obviously desperate to keep him on a long-term deal, and then he's been injured ever since and lost probably a lot of confidence and form now. And
it's a challenge to get back.
Yeah, the challenge is there and he'll want to do it. He's a pro, but you sort of can't argue with what Stephen Silvani said there. You can't be paying that sort of money for a midfielder who's playing as a small forward.
But they're committed. Who's going to pay? Because obviously someone picks up half, the Giants have to pay half.
I don't think any club probably would at this stage. So I think Steve needs a big summer and to get out there and see if he can get back to his best form.
And the information I have is that exactly what he wants to do, and we're all wishing that he does that. But Jared, imagine the optics of that. Imagine the optics of giving him this 7-year mega deal to keep him from going to Carlton or Hawthorn, and then 2 years later turning around after giving him the captaincy and saying, actually, we'd like to pay another club for you to play against us.
No, would look silly, and I think there's only one option, and that is for him to take up the challenge, a bit like Tom McDonald. I mean, Tom McDonald was out.
Yep.
No one wanted Tom McDonald. And yet Tom McDonald has been an amazingly good player for the Demons since he had that meeting with his own destiny.
We did an interview with Tom McDonald a couple of days ago, Jake and I, and he openly said, I met with Collingwood and thought it went well and never heard back from them. I wasn't sure whether it was because they didn't rate me or because, you know, these salary cap issues. But he was a guy that was... He was gone, Jared, and he's an important player in a grand final in 3 days.
So the issue for them, just as a final point, is do they make it a little bit more easy for him to focus on his own career by taking away the responsibility of the captaincy? And to me, that seems probably almost self-evident.
Well, I think when you're trying to get back to your best form and you've got the pressure that he's under with this contract, I would think that the captaincy is an added burden he doesn't need at the moment.
So we just saw some vision on Channel 7 behind you there, Richo, of Michael Voss sneaking into Melbourne. He had the mask on.
Around.
It was like a cowboy with that black mask.
A couple of tumbleweeds blew past him there at Tullamarine as well.
I saw Tommy Morris there. He thought he had an exclusive.
No, they were all out there.
Poor old Vossie would have walked straight out. And the only person waiting for him there is Tommy Morris in a camera.
I would have driven to Adelaide just to jump on a plane with him just to see what it was like to fly again. Yeah. I can't even remember the last time.
All right, Richo, who's going to win by how much?
Oh, I think it's going to be a great grand final. I just can't go past Melbourne's defence. I think it'll be a tight game. I'm going to say the D's by less than 2 goals. Christian Petrarca, Norm Smith medal.
So he kicks one on the siren to win.
A couple of goals for Christian and 25+.
Scoop, who do you think?
I'll give you my tip on Friday, Jared, but I am leaning towards an upset.
Ooh. Okay, I like
it. I think
it.
The Dogs might snatch it.
All right, there's a big call from Scoop. He's got 2 days to think about it. We'll be back tomorrow night, folks. Thanks for your
company. Guys. Welcome back to Sports Day. We're here for Red Energy and for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. As we sort of talked about in the first hour, Jared, you might have been the only person in southeastern Victoria that didn't actually feel the magnitude 5.8 earthquake because you were, what, were you going for a swim?
I was doing a lap of the Brighton Marina with my brother, so there's two of us that didn't feel it.
That's quite unbelievable. I think that, and the voice you're starting to hear chuckle on the other end there is the Mansfield Eagles senior footy coach. His name is Chad Owens. You might ask, why are we getting the Mansfield Eagles senior footy coach on in grand
why
final?
Are we?
Well, they're not quite the epicentre of the finals at the moment, but they're at the epicentre of something else, and that was the magnitude 5.8 earthquake that hit today. Chad, welcome to you. Tell us, talk us through what happened.
Well, thanks for having us on. It was a bit of a strange one, to be honest. I was up at the footy club doing a working bee, and my wife rang and said that our house was shaking, and she ran outside, and there was people in the street across the road from the garage across the road, and they were all sort of milling around, and I was at the footy club, and to be honest, I'm a bit like Jared. I didn't feel it. I could see it. But where I was standing, I couldn't actually feel it move. But inside the change rooms, which was between 5 and 10 metres away, the whole thing was in there shaking. And the other fella in there, Wimper, he said it felt like a truck had just driven through the rooms. So, yeah, like 5 to 10 metres away, and he was feeling it, you know, quite powerfully. Yeah.
So you're prepared publicly, Chad, to say you didn't feel the earth move?
I didn't, to be honest, mate. I honestly didn't. I sort of thought my wife, I thought COVID must have finally taken its toll on my wife and lockdown had got to her. But I honestly didn't feel the ground shake, but everyone else did. I think I'm the only person in town. So I rang a few of the boys from the footy club and they said their windows were looking like they were going to go. The TVs were on the wall, were shaking, everything.
Yeah, we had the same story for my wife and my daughter. They ran out of the house all a little bit concerned. There were cars rolling around in the driveway, etc.
So, Jared, can I ask a dumb question here?
Yeah.
Like, do you actually, is it possible to feel an earthquake when you're in the ocean? Like, should it not be a similar thing?
I can tell you, Scoopy, that I did not feel a thing.
I mean, just because your freestyle flutter kick is so strong.
No, I'm not sure why it is so, but I didn't hear anything, didn't see anything, ran into an aluminium pole that was submerged. But other than that, quite an uneventful swim. So any danger, Chad, to the club rooms or any of the housing around the Mansfield Eagles?
At the gate at the footy club, there's some damage that's been done there. So I was sort of in between those two areas. I didn't feel anything, but there's damage to the memorial wall.
Yep.
And the club rooms just sort of, it shook pretty hard. But, no structural damage at this stage, I don't think. No.
So is Nick Theodosi and Craig Kelly still the major power brokers there on the Mansfield Eagles?
Well, Dion, Nick's son, he's one of the major sponsors here. We live across the road from his garage and their garage shook because their whole staff come running out onto the road. We live directly across the road from them. So
what's the garage called again? Shook for Dion's, what's Dion's business called again?
Martin's Garage.
That's right, indeed it is.
There's a free plug for him. But, so it was really weird. Like, all the tradesmen thought, that our captain, Brady Marnie, he was on site and he thought the beams were coming down in the house, so they took off out of the house. Yeah, so I think it obviously was quite serious, I just didn't feel it. My wife was, really shaken by it. I was pretty lucky, I guess. Yeah.
Chad, talk us through what's happened to Mansfield this year. I mean, it's been such a brutal year for community footy and even, profession and sub-professional footy.
And throughout the ski fields.
And, yeah, I mean, it's...
Yeah.
How's everyone coping there?
Well, I think Jared brought up the ski fields. That's a big part of what drives tourism here is Mount Buller.
Yep.
So obviously when we don't have that, we've got local businesses that are really bleeding. So your local takeaway stores and Fraser Stevenson Sports Store and things like that. Like, they sell to the winter market, obviously, and they haven't been able to get in. Like, this is the seventh lockdown we've been in, and they haven't been able to get that. We don't. The tourism is nowhere near as big. Round one this year, we had a home game, Easter weekend. We had nearly 5,000 people there at the game. And all of a sudden, our last two games, we had to play without a crowd. And in this town, footy is like a religion. Like, it's what drives the town. It's what, you know, if a farmer's had a bad day or bad week, you know, whatever it might be, a drought, whatever, then they come to the footy on the weekend, and that's their social release where they can catch up with friends and things. And they just haven't been able to do that the last two seasons. And yeah, you can start to tell with some people about anxiety levels building because of that. You know, especially if you live at home on your own on a farm, and that's your go-to, and you just can't do that. So, yeah.
Oh, it's brutal, Jared, isn't it? Listening to this, you and I have talked about it from our personal perspectives, but, I mean, you think about it, a place like Mansfield and how pumping it would be at the moment in regular circumstances. And then, I'm glad, Chad and Jared, that there wasn't more damage done today, because it could have been a whole lot worse by the sounds of things.
Yeah, I think it could have been, Sam, to be honest. Like, I obviously haven't got around town to speak to too many people because you can't go to people's houses at the moment. But, a lot of people were saying, like, buildings like the doctor centre were shaking and things like that. And obviously the garage was shaking across the road. And, you know, there'd certainly be damage to people's houses. And you just sort of hope that's not the straw that breaks the camel's back, you know, because they've dealt with a lot over the last 2 years. And they're pretty tough people, the Mansfield people, and they're very very community-minded. So I'd imagine if something has happened that people will really get behind and support each other. So, yeah, it's a great town, beautiful town.
What's been the general view, Chad? And we're talking to Mansfield Eagles senior coach Chad Owens. What's been the general view about the happenings in Melbourne over the last couple of days from the good folk up of the country?
Well, it's pure frustration, to be honest, because you look at that and you think, well, you look at the people today taking over the shrine. I was just watching that on the news today. You know, that's putting so many people's jobs in jeopardy and so many people's health in jeopardy. And all of a sudden, if one of those people decides to break the rules and travel here, they could get our whole town shut down.
Yep.
So it's already been hard enough. And I feel for the people in Melbourne that are doing the right thing as well. And then you watch those people that go out there today and think they're above the law. I think that's what's really frustrating people here, because we rely heavily on people from Melbourne being able to come to our town and pump money into the local businesses.
Yep.
Now, that could put that back another month.
Could the footy club survive another year without footy? Or what sort of damage are we going to have to recover from kids playing, from netballers turning up, and from people? And who was that in the background?
That's my 6-year-old son, Lewis, who's just got home from vacation care. He's pretty excited. He's a massive Mansfield Eagles fan.
Have you got him signed up for father son?
He plays Auskick at the moment. Excellent. He loves it. So
what sort of damage has local footy and local netball clubs taken on board with a couple of years now with no genuine competition or no elongated competition?
Yeah, to be honest, Jared, it's bloody hard for our players to stay motivated.
Yep.
So, and coaching staff as well. Like, we've lost some coaches over the last 2 years because of that. Like, they don't want to go through the emotional highs and lows of that. Like, it's already hard enough with their jobs and families. And then if you throw football and netball into that as well, and then that gets taken away from you also, that's three things that you've got to deal with.
Yep.
And mentally, it's really affected particularly country, when you look at it and you go, yeah, but we don't have the cases that the city have got.
Yes.
Why are we being shut down? Like, why is this happening? We feel for everyone, but when you haven't had a case in your town and everything's getting taken away from you.
Yeah, it seems like the sledgehammer approach has affected so many people that it shouldn't have, and you're the ones who have had to deal with it.
Yeah, and then you go to a local sponsor and you're asking for money and they haven't had customers for six months.
Yep.
So, you know, how do you, like, we're reasonably fortunate in that way, but there's other, like, smaller towns than us, which, you know, our town's not big, it's only 4,000, but there's smaller towns than us that would be, like, you wonder if they'll ever come back, to be honest. Like, how do kids deal with this constant disappointment of not being able to go to school? And normally, you know, if a kid's not great at school, normally sport's their outlet, isn't it?
Yes.
And they can't do that. So not only they can't do it, the local coach who loves teaching kids things, he can't do it. The mums can't go and watch their kids play. The netball's being taken away. It's just it all just compounds. And you got to be in a good community, I think, to survive.
So what's the attitude been towards vaccination? I mean, clearly there's two schools of thought. There's pro-choice and there's those who are hardcore make it an absolute requirement. Where do the country folks sit?
To be honest, just about everyone that I've spoke to is vaccinated.
Yep.
So I think they're just saying, let's just get it done. Let's get back to as normal a life as we possibly can. If this is what it takes, then this is what it takes.
Yep.
So, because people, you know, like in the city as well, you guys would be at your wit's end as well. Every time something happens, you get shut down. So you can't go to your coffee shop. You can't go to your favourite dinner. None of us can go to bloody sport. Like, we can't go to, you know, a big band or anything like that. So I just think when you get people spreading false rumours around, it makes people nervous about the vaccination, doesn't it? So, yeah.
Yep. Chad, we can hear the frustration in your voice, mate. I think you are a reflection and symbolic of how hard so many Victorians are doing it. But look, the good news out of the earthquake today is there wasn't a whole heap of damage. It could have been a lot worse. There's still some tough times ahead for this footy club, Jared, it sounds like.
Yes, indeed. Chad, before you leave us, we better get an insider tip from one of the country's finest coaches. Who's going to win and why, and the margin, and the Norm Smith medalist?
I'm pretty torn. I would like to see Melbourne win. Something's telling me that the Dogs are going to win by 8 Ooh. Points, and Marcus Bontempelli will walk away with the Norm Smith.
Hello.
Chad, I
That's
like
what we like
it.
To hear. Like we it. Like Good to hear have an you independent on, Chad. Thinker. That's why you're one of the greats, Chad. Look, you better go home and just check out whether you can make the earth move for your wife again, because you missed out the first time today. But all the best, and thanks for joining us tonight.
Thanks very much, guys, and I love listening to the show.
Fantastic.
Good on you, Chad. I'm absolutely going to leave that comment alone, Jerry, because I have nowhere else to take that than somewhere poor. It was really good to touch base with someone who's not only... you know, running essentially a footy club. You know what coaches are like at country level, Jared. They're basically the CEOs as well. But that's also, you know, a proud Victorian in a country area that's doing it bloody tough. And Jared, I hadn't even thought about the ski fields when we started talking this guy. Of course, you know, their entire town revolves around that. I mean, it's just brutal.
Yeah, look, everybody's got a different perspective on what we're seeing in Melbourne right now. It's, as Richo said
earlier, the last few days have been tough to watch.
It's been probably the most disappointing 2 days that I can remember in this town. And so many people you talk to sort of have the same view that, for a long, long time, the construction industry has been a privileged industry. And right now, the construction industry, and that's the collective, not individuals, but the collective, are putting a lot of industries at risk from coming back.
More Sports Day after this. Welcome back to Sports Day. We're here for Red Energy and for the new Kia Niro, the electric SUV range, which has now landed Melbourne and the Western Bulldogs. We are now just 3 sleeps away till football Christmas here in Perth. The next man that joins us, Jared, was, of course, one of the all-time greats of this footy club. He played 364 games. He was 3 times awarded the Charles Sutton Medal. He was leading goal kicker on 6 occasions, which I forget, Jared.
Yep.
He's also an All-Australian on 6 occasions. Well, one of those, he was captain. And he's just one of the nicest guys in footy. His name is Brad Johnson. He's now doing his best on Fox alongside Jared. And he joins us live on Sports Day. Jono, welcome to you.
Good evening, Sam. Good evening, Jared. How are you guys?
We're going great guns, Jono. I reckon a number of those years when you won the goal kicking robbed you of many more best and fairest, but I can remember them, even if Scoop can't. But I'm going to give you some credit, extra credit. But how are you feeling as one of the greats? We spoke to Tony Liberatore last night. We're speaking to Bradley Johnson tonight, getting a real feel of how the kennel is pumping at the present time.
Oh, look, now feeling great. Obviously, super pumped with the scenario that the Dogs find themselves in the moment, and it's going to be huge. It's going to be a tough game against the D's, and look, they're 1-1 this year, and we understand that it'll be probably won and lost throughout the midfield battle where there's stars everywhere. But honestly, I'm pretty calm and at the moment it's building up slowly. The nerves are slowly starting to come in, but I suppose having the fact of living what we did in 2016 and the nerves that surrounded that were just super intense. Like that was the most intense I've been in a month of football in my entire life. So having lived that and a different scenario now, a little bit calmer this time around.
Well, you're in grand final week, and I suspect you spent a lot of waking minutes thinking about the game that's coming up. What were you thinking about when the 5.9 ripped through Victoria?
Look, I couldn't believe the house. We're down in Geelong, Jared, as you know, and our house was shaking around down here a fair bit. So I was a bit sort of like, what's sort of going on here? And then realised this is a little earthquake we're experiencing, and it wasn't so little. We were sort of on the outer aspects of it all, but right in the middle of town and throughout other parts of the country, it was a little bit scary there for a couple of minutes.
Jared was the only person, I think, in the entire state of Victoria that didn't actually feel it, Jono, because he was swimming. That's a story for another time. Jono, who do you see, and you can concentrate on your Dogs here if you want, or you can also bring in the D's, who do you see as the one or two most important players in as far as deciding this game? Is it as obvious as talking about the stars, you know, of Petrarca and Bontempelli, or are there a couple of role players that, you know, if they play their role to a 10 out of 10, that's going to go a long way?
Yeah, look, there's a couple in that sense. Look, you go to the stars naturally, Sam, and that's the way that we should with what they've produced throughout the season so far. Steph Martin's a little bit of a wild card, I think, from the Dogs' point of view. More so, not so much around the ground, because the Dogs just have to control Max the best way they possibly can, but it's around centre bounce. I think that's where Melbourne can come out the front a lot. Opposition have tried to exploit the Dogs throughout the last sort of period of time in centre bounce and certainly take that advantage. But Steph Martin, with what he did last week, shows that, you know, the bigger body in there, the fact that he can nullify the opposition in that part of the ground will certainly aid the Bulldogs in maybe getting a bit of first use out of there, which is important against the Melbourne Footy Club. And it's the kickers off halfback for both teams. You look at Salem at one hand, and I'd probably go to... I don't go to Bailey Dale as much as probably what I do Williams, because his use of the ball probably goes underrated in terms of some of the other names that have come out of the back half when you look at Caleb Daniel and Bailey Dale with what they've done this year. So it's probably those two half backs in terms of Williams and using the ball really well, I think, is important, versus Salem up the other end for the D's, who has just had an unbelievable season himself.
Jono, I spoke at the top of the program about the two coaches, Simon Goodwin, a win away from coaching immortality. He was only probably half a dozen weeks away from getting the flick last year. But Luke Beveridge is a win away from being hailed as one of the greatest coaches of the modern era by taking two Bulldog teams, 7 years apart, to premierships when at the end of the home and away season, they were given absolutely no chance by anyone. Different circumstances granted. This year, they have been, for a long period of time, one of the top two teams. In 2016, they were an emerging team with no real aspirations of a flag and no real widely viewed thoughts that they could win it. Lost by a stack of goals in round 23 over in the West. Then there was the bye. And then they put that incredible run of victories on board to knock off the Swans. But Luke Beveridge, he will be regarded as one of the all-time great masters if he can conspire and find a victory on Saturday night.
Oh, look, I agree, Jared. It's sort of, you sort of go to, maybe the headline will be Bye Bye Bevo, and it won't be because he's leaving the Dogs. It's the fact that the buys have landed perfectly for him as a coach. They did,
very creative, is Jono. That's why he's so good on first crack.
Is he jumping into your area here, Jared? Well, it's usually you that sort of the alliteration.
He's been well-tuned. He's been well-schooled. Wow. Very good from you, Jono.
Oh, you know, I love every Sunday Twilight game, Jeremy. We've done a lot of them together, a lot of travelling together as well. And so you have rubbed off on me a little bit. But yeah, look, 2016, it worked perfectly to get the players back to then have a good crack at the final series and find form the way they did. And this year it's been three cutthroat finals, one in the West,
one against Brisbane, which was intense. The prelim worked out well for them that they could actually rest some players in the back half of that game. And now they get the bye to rest into a grand final. So it's amazing the way that it has worked out for the footy club in that sense. But you're right. But they've been the top four team all year. They messed it up their last three games of the season, no question. But they've been able to recapture it. The second half of the Bombers has allowed them to get going again. I think that rain coming down in Tassie certainly got the midfielders back and got their hands dirty again and got some aspects to their game back that were missing for quite some time. And then the last 2 weeks have just been, you know, just gritty wins that were unexpected against the Lions. And then obviously the power, the start was just, you know, powerful in their own right, the way that they set all alight. And I think Bevo sort of said in that sort of stuff that has come out in terms of some of the things in history, guys, you look at Charlie Sutton and Shop Early and EJ, you know, I need you to inspire me. And Bevo had his own sort of moment, I suppose, where he sort of spoke about they underestimated how big our hearts are. And I think that's something that'll go down in history from a Bulldogs point of view, from the way that, you know, these coaches talk in the big moments. And that was the one that stood out for me.
One of the great times of the year is Grand Final week in Melbourne, and despite the some of the tragic scenes that we're witnessing in the last couple of days, it is still Grand Final week. And what that often means, Jared, and you know I'm a great lover and watcher of Fox Footy, is the longest kick comp. They've been doing it on the Yarra the last few years.
Still yet to get an invite. Still yet to get an invite.
This is what I wanted to ask. So, John, I think it's at Marvel Stadium. I've seen the ads. The ads look great.
Yeah, it is.
Two questions for you. One is, who takes it the most seriously? And I would think the $1.10 favourite would be Nick Riewoldt. And two is, why don't you get some of the older, and I'm not going to say old, the older Fox Footy types, like a Jared, who could probably kick it further than Joey Montagna ever could, let's be honest, involved in this cop?
Look, you nailed it. Your first part, you nailed it. No question whatsoever. It was honestly great. It was great fun to film it. It was a barrel. Andrew Gaze was absolutely on fire. So all of it'll come together perfectly. Actually, our most courageous player of all time at Fox in Jonathan Brown. It's quite funny, his first kick. So I'll leave it at that. You'll expect the unexpected with Jonathan Brown. And how far, Jared, honestly, how far do you think you could nail a barrel these days? What's your distance?
Oh, conservatively 63 metres.
On the left as well. On the left.
No, we actually gave the game up Monday night in the couch. Good to see you're watching, Jono. Brownie does his toe, so I'm happy to challenge Brownie. Okay. But it must have been hilarious at the time, and I'm told it was one of only half a dozen magnificent moments there where people actually embarrass themselves. But who the winner is of great interest to me, and I know you're not allowed to discuss that, but is going to be a surprise.
I'm surprised that Roo didn't have his own personal masseuse down there.
Who said he didn't?
The last time he was at a footy club, Jared, pumping up Maddie's match, which of course is... has become amazing and grown in size and significance. He actually got down before the bike ride, Jared, and got down there half an hour earlier so that he could get a massage from the club masseuse. This is the club that he's been retired from for 3 or 4 years.
Well, yeah, and that was after doing about an 8K warm-up, Jono.
Yeah, like, phenomenal. Look, even for the sprint we did at the earlier this year, the fastest at Fox, he brought his own Therabody to massage his own body before the sprint. So you got to love his attention to detail, the big fella. He looks the part as always, whether it's cycling, whether it's sprinting, whether it was the longest kick. Nick Riewoldt looks the part, and that's the most impressive thing about it. I love the way he goes about it.
Jono, you're a very talented man. I'm not sure whether you're going to long-term stay in the media or you're going to go into coaching, which I hope someday you do, even if it's at a lower level, as in a development coach. But you've also ventured into a sporting company. So what drives you at the present time? Is it making millions from Xena Sport? Is it developing youth? or is it still supporting me and my dotage on the Sunday evenings?
It's a combination of all. If I could split it equally, I would. Xena has taken over majority of our time at the present time.
It's what are you doing with Xena?
Well, it's a protective vest for females playing any contact or collision-based sport. So it's got breast and rib protection. It's
it's been great fun to develop it with my wife Donna. It's just the two of us, and look, where it's involved in any type of sport. We started in footy, of course, because that's what we love, and helping the girls in that sport. But ultimately, it's basketball and lacrosse and soccer, and your cricket. You name them, it the vest sits really well in amongst so many sports. So it's been great so far. We've got a lot of work to do as well, but it's been awesome to get involved in something a little bit different outside of the things I love, Jared. And yeah, they are talking and being a part of Fox and working with yourself, and then also the development side of the game, which is something I really enjoy also.
Great to hear, Jono, and looking forward to seeing a sample of the ribbon breast protector. And I do apologise, I say goodbye, for embellishing my aspirations for the kick. I don't think I'd be able to kick it at over 62 metres, actually.
No, I think you've got at least 25 in your jetter.
Oh, thanks, Jono.
Thanks, Jono. The great Brad Johnson there from Fox Footy. I'm just going through his resume here, Jared.
Oh, it's a big resume.
AFL legend, tick. Media gun, tick. Coach potential, tick. Final one, entrepreneur.
Yep.
Tick.
Arena sports.
And also, nicest guy in footy.
He's good to tick. Travel with, Jono.
Can you hear that? Jerry, can you hear that rattling? Can you hear that?
I can. That's Jake.
It's Jake.
Hello, Jake. Let's get Jake on tomorrow night.
Jake's gone back for the old cold chocolate in the fridge.
Surprised there's still one there.
More sports after this.
A chat with a mate. Thanks to Mate Internet and Mobile. Australia's most satisfied customers. NBN from just $59. Search Mate online.
Yep, the action continues this week across the Sunshine State. Chris Nelson joins us from Racing Queensland. Chris, we're at Toowoomba for our main meeting on Saturday.
We are, Sam. Good evening to you. And we are. It's the big day of Toowoomba, as each year. It's the Toowoomba Cup, of course, and the Wheatwood Handicap for the sprinters. And there's a couple of other good races on the card as well. The Pat O'Shea Plate, the first sighting of the new season 2-year-olds, and the 3-year-old guineas as well. So big day of Toowoomba on Saturday afternoon.
Certainly is the Toowoomba Cup Day with the Cup and the Westwood Handicap highlights as well. Good on you, Chris. Chris Nelson there from Racing Queensland. You can visit racingqueensland.com.au. More sports day coming up.
Earlier tonight, we caught up with one of the greats of the game in West Coast, Coach Adam Simpson. And here is some of what Simo had to say.
Good evening, boys. No earthquakes over here.
Well, there's about to be on Saturday night. It's going to shake the game up. And it's fantastic to see the grand final being taken around the country, albeit in such difficult circumstances. I understand the pain that Melbourne and the Bulldogs supporters would be going through, but take that aside. It is great that we're seeing a grand final played for another time outside the state.
Yeah, well, look, the state and what they've done with the stadium over here, it's perfect timing, really, to host something like this. Stadium's still brand new, hasn't got that worn-in smell yet, and the whole city has just embraced the last couple of weeks, and you know, probably since the first final that we saw over here with the Giants and the Cats, it's sort of built each day, and really jealous that we're not part of the campaign at all. But yeah, it's going to be really good for the whole state on Saturday night.
Yeah, Simo, everyone's really excited about this game. Everyone you talk to is really anticipating, I think, a close grand final. You obviously know both teams really well, coaching against them over the last few years. Do you get that feeling too? It's going to be a close granny?
Really hard to tell, Rich. You assume so. You sort of think that every year and you know, every second year there's a blowout. So look, I suppose the one thing about the Bulldogs and that's different than 16 is their form throughout this year has been, other than for 3 weeks, has been pretty strong, and yeah, they did falter a little bit towards the end, but for the most part, they were, you know, 1-2 on the ladder, and the two really deserving sides to play off. So, and the Bulldogs are back to their best, so it's going to be a great game.
I know it's a guessing game, Simo, but that extra week off for Melbourne in between their prelim and the grand final, do you feel like that's going to cause any harm for them, having, you know, played a little bit less footy than the Dogs? Do they lose any momentum, or does it just help them more?
It's a good question. Both teams have been training at our facility, and I can't help but watch a little bit because it's my window in my office overlooks the oval. So for as much as I'm trying to respect the privacy of what they're doing, I can see a little bit of the training. And you can tell that the Bulldogs have played an extra game throughout the final series to the point where they did things a little bit differently than Melbourne. You know, they're a bit more recovery when they trained, and Melbourne were a bit more turbo. And I don't know what that means for grand final day, but both have got different type of preparations. Even over the weekend, you heard them both talk about one club was going pretty hard at an intra-club, the other one didn't. And it was more based on how the players are feeling rather than what the best prep was.
West Coast coach Adam Simpson joining us live on Sports Day. Adam, Sam Petrescu-Seaton has requested a trade to the Eagles. How hands-on were you in that process?
No, not a lot. No, that's still, they're going to work through that. And, yeah, I'm sure both clubs will, you know, hopefully we can work through it. But, no, not a lot, to be honest, Sam. We got an indication that Sam was looking to get home, and more than happy to oblige. So we'll let the two clubs work through that, and hopefully we can get what Sam wants and what we want.
Is he a midfielder?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think mid-forward is probably where he belongs, but I know he went down back there for a little while at the Blues, and, you know, for us, if it was all to work, we'd have to go through and see how he feels. But I think having the flexibility at the moment is a good thing. But getting him settled would be a priority as well. But yeah, a lot of water to go under the bridge before we worry about that.
Yep.
Simo, you've seen the two teams training. You've seen the evolution of the game, a couple of rule changes, and you've seen yourselves come up short. What do you need to, or what are you focusing on? What have you got up on the drawing board that you are considering changing to stay with the top end of the ladder?
Yeah, that's not an easy one to answer, Jared. We are working through, and I've noticed this season, the game changes. I mean, around 6 or 7, you always look to see what the trends are and what has more impact. And I felt as the season went, there was a lot more accountability with defence. Mm-hmm. Is something I've noticed. Rather the zone defence that we all talk about, there's still elements of that, but there's a lot more one-on-one cover-off type of situations that force you to a contest. And so the teams are the best at the contest, and that's been around a while, but even more so, embracing that part of the game is something that we didn't manage consistently enough. So when we were good, we were really good. When we weren't, we were really bad. So the two teams at the top now, they embrace that from the get-go, and it's all day, every day, no compromising. So that loosely and broadly, they're the couple of things I've noticed.
They're also got amazing running power. I mean, if you look at the last X amount of grand finals, take yourselves out of it. Richmond's running power, immense. We've got probably 13 elite midfield runners. Demons have developed this incredible running power, and the Dogs have they're not shy in that department as well. Do you need to recruit some runners?
You need to have a fit side, you know. So you need a good pre-season, you need a good 2 or 3 pre-seasons, really. And you need that synergy of match play, which we didn't get this year. But, yeah, I think every team and every club has good runners. It's and, you know, there's no point having really good runners, but guys who can't win the ball or use the ball. So you want that balance. But both those teams have got a good balance of both. And you wouldn't say Petrarca's their best runner, but you know, their wingers and the way they run and complement what he does. That's sort of at every club. So we need a good pre-season, to be honest. But the two teams that are playing this week have built themselves over not just one season, probably 3 or 4 seasons to get to this point. And even the Doggies, you know, dipping for a few years after their premiership. And now this campaign's a product of the last 3 years, I would have thought.
Simo, you've welcomed a couple of new coaches that have been around for a while. Obviously, Matthew Knights from Geelong and Jared Schofield joined the coaching staff. Is that important for you to bring in some fresh faces and maybe, I don't know, whether they bring fresh ideas? Is that something that you need as a senior coach every 3 or 4 or 5 years just to bring in some new ideas and just a fresh face?
That's a good question, Richo. We actually thought I might have had 2 grand final midfield coaches coming into the ranks, and they both got touched up in the prelim. But they will they will get. We've traditionally at West Coast we build from within and we get the coaches in young. They go through development. We educate them as best we can, and then we get really good line coaches and assistant coaches. And this time around, and I've been coaching now for 8 years. I'm really excited about some new ideas and some guys who have established themselves as really good senior coaches in senior assistant coaches, and obviously Knights with his experience as a senior coach. So, yeah, I'll be picking their brains. Already have, to be honest, on their leave. Trying to get them over here is going to be a challenge with lockdown and all those situations. But, yeah, real sense of excitement that they can bring some, especially the two clubs they've been at. They've been so strong for a number of years, Port and Geelong. So I'll be definitely, I won't say copying, but they won't be far off some of the ideas that they've got from their clubs.
Adam, what about when people go the other way? And I'm referring to Jamie Graham. How hard is it as a senior coach, you know, knowing that these guys are taking IP with them? And does it make it harder if and when they go to crosstown rivals? I mean, I keep waiting for the news to drop that he's joined Fremantle. It hasn't happened yet, but yeah, it does sound like it's far off.
I think it might have happened a bit more this year. It just feels like there's been more changes with assistant coaches for whatever reason. I know when I got the job, and this is for the new coaches who come into play, when I got the job after being at Hawthorn, I definitely used a lot of the teaching elements and the style of play, and you use that as a platform to start with. And then I think the way it works is you just adapt to the list, and your own coaching sort of comes through as years go. So senior coaching is a bit different than being an assistant. I think you do take a little bit of information with you, but you know, predominantly most clubs are doing very similar things. It's just done in a different way. So yeah, no doubt we'll lose a little bit of IP, but that happens every year.
This is why he's so good, Jared, because he actually avoided the whole question of Jamie. Is he joining Freo, Adam?
Yep. I've got no idea. He's not with us. So, yeah, look, I'm sure he's working really hard on whether he takes opportunities to come to Victoria, which is an option for him. I'm sure there's clubs out there, and there's also, no doubt, Fremantle would have shown some interest as well. So that'll be a personal choice that Jamie will work through, and he deserves every success that he can get. So I wish him all the best.
Can I ask Adam if just a couple of questions by way of recruiting? You've been watching the training, and quite clearly, there are three outstanding elite midfielders that have been running up and down the ground in front of your office: Oliver, Petrarca, and Bont. If you could pick one, which one would you take to bolster your chances next year?
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, I'd probably pick Bont.
Probably. Okay, so you've gone with Bont. So that means that you've missed out on Petrarca and Oliver. So my other question is, and this is specifically to bolster your team, not just on talent, but on a needs base. If you could take a choice out of anybody else of the two teams, and you can't take now Oliver, Petrarca and Bont, who would you select?
Are you trying to get me on the back page of Western Australian again?
No, I've done that once already this year. Because I'm looking at like a Bailey Smith or a Bailey Dale across that half back line. There's a couple there that stand out to me like absolute rippers. Who would you have in mind if you had the genie came out and gave you one wish?
To be honest, I have not got. There's probably 10 players there that can help any team in the competition. So I'm going to deviate from that question because I've got no idea what the ripple would be off the back of me answering it.
Oh, okay.
Smart.
I'm a bit tentative,
bit
mate.
Gun-shy tonight, bit gun-shy.
Oh, mate. You're lucky I'm on after what you did to me last time.
it was my fault now. Okay.
He's at Juno's chasing him around, Jared, here in Perth.
Yes, it's been a big show. Richo pretty strong in yes, no. Richo, did he get a few things off his chest? And it was great to catch up with West Coast coach Adam Simpson. We're looking forward to chatting to more Bulldogs and Demon Legends over the next couple of days. So stay with us, folks. But for now, it's good night.